This morning I'm going to be talking about the first of Vasubandhu's four factors. Yeah, so interestingly, 15 years ago, almost to the day, in fact, I was a Mitra, just like you are, at Taraloka, living at Taraloka. I'd been living at Taraloka for about maybe 2 or 3 months. And there was a retreat, a meditation reflection retreat coming up in the March. And I was doing a bit of study prep for that. And it was on Vasubandhu's four factors. And I don't remember very much about that retreat, except the impact of this first factor on me. I remember that, and I also remember the fact that I was working very hard in the office over there to get a big mail out done on a new bit of software. And I was working between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning to do that, coming over here and doing 2 hours of meditation and knowing how strongly I had to work with my mind because I was a bit caught up in the database. And because I had to work so hard with my mind to make the transition, I really progressed. It was amazing. I mean, I was just this incredibly still, purposeful being on this retreat. And it was partly because it was very obvious to me what I was working with, I think. Anyway, this first factor, I'm going to read you the first factor and then I'm going to tell you the impact it had on me. So I'm reading it in the translation that Sangharaksha uses in the Bodhisattva Ideal, which is slightly different from the translation that we've been given yesterday. All Buddhas in the 10 quarters of the past, of the future and of the present, when they first started on their way to enlightenment, were not quite free of passions and sins any more than we are at present, but they finally succeeded in attaining the highest enlightenment and became the noblest beings. All the Buddhas, by strength of their inflexible spiritual energy, were capable of attaining perfect enlightenment. If enlightenment is attainable at all, why should we not attain it? All the Buddhas, erecting high the torch of wisdom through the darkness of ignorance, and keeping awake an excellent heart, submitted themselves to penance and mortification, and finally emancipated themselves from the bondage of the triple world. Following their steps, we too could emancipate ourselves. All the Buddhas, the noblest type of mankind, successfully crossed the great ocean of birth and death, and of passions and sins. Why then, we being creatures of intelligence, could also cross the sea of transmigration? All the Buddhas, manifesting great spiritual power, sacrificed their possessions, body and life, for the attainment of omniscience, and we too could follow their noble examples. So when I read this, I was sitting in a little room over there in the community above the kitchen. I remember it well. I read this as if for the first time. And I thought, if I really believe this, how is my life going to be from now on? If I really believe enlightenment is possible, doesn't that change everything? Doesn't it change everything? In a way, doesn't it change every way that I make a decision? If I really take this on. And I was in the sort of state of mind, I suppose, that meant I could take it on that level. And what happened to me after that, in a way, was, well, actually, the rest of my life followed from that. A month later, I was told I was going to be ordained. A couple of months after that, I was ordained. I took up the Buddha, the Shakyamuni sadhana practice. And in a way, that sadhana practice wasn't, it was really just an image of this factor. That's all that is for me. It's an image of that factor. He's not, when I visualise Shakyamuni, I'm not visualising perfection. I'm visualising the Buddha as described here, as a possibility for me. That's all that is. I'm visualising potential, I'm visualising possibility. I'm not visualising a being that's kind, honest, wise. That doesn't really touch it at all for me.